Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Man, Pat, we need encouragement for times of trouble. We need encouragement for the day of disaster and calamity and uncertainty. Mm-hmm. It's so good to know that there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother.
Amen.
And that good, it's so good to know that God is could be there with you every step of the way. And all we have to do is turn to him. That's all
right.
We have to do. It's not hard. Mm-mm. It's not hard. All we have to do is surrender and say, Jesus, have your way.
That's right.
You know, but oftentimes what gets in the way of that is the fact that, you know, if you're stuck on God operating on your operating manual, that's going to be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because oftentimes we can come into a situation with our own blueprint, our own idea about what we think should happen or needs to happen or what makes sense to us. And we filter maybe God and his responses the way we think, you know, he should do it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know what? God doesn't take counsel from us. You know what I'm saying? His thoughts are not like our thoughts. His ways are not like our ways. He is God, and it's for us to conform to what he's doing, not for him to conform to what we're doing. And so I wanted to share with you just a word that encourages to say, you know what? There's a cost to following Jesus. I mean, yes, we can turn to him. Yes, he's willing and open to receive us. He will open his arms wide open. But, you know, there is a cost, and the cost normally is us. It's your will. Yeah, it's your plans. It's your blueprint. And when you come to following God, it's just, you know, check your blueprint at the door. You know what I'm saying? Check your blueprint at the door. And we want to talk about the cost of following the Lord, because it's just so, so important. He'll show us the way. What you're listening to here is a call that we had with some leaders, and I'm sharing about the cost of following Jesus, the cost of, and this is coming out of Luke, but it's the cost of what's it going to take. You know, God opens his hands to us, and he says, listen, you can come, but oftentimes he's going to come outside of our blueprint, outside of our mind, the way it needs to happen. I want you to listen up and get this encouragement, because we're going to need this.
A man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Now this is very interesting, because as I was praying and spending time with the Lord, this is so incredibly ministered. But he says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go, speaking to Jesus. And Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, no one who puts his hands to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. And I'm talking about the cost of following Jesus. Now, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, the longer that I walk with the Lord and spend time with him and try to learn of his ways, his purposes and his ways, I've come to a couple conclusions. You know what I'm saying? I've observed a couple of things. And I noticed something, that prior to this, is the same scripture, the same verse of scripture is also shared in Matthew 18. Prior to this man coming to Jesus, there was huge crowds. And this man walks up and he says, hey, listen, I want to follow you wherever you go. I want to follow you. And I thought it was so interesting that Jesus just comes out and says, yeah, this is kind of like perplexing to me here, you know. Foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests, But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And you're like, Jesus. You know, there's some things that just don't fit my grid. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm trying to figure this out. But he says, he does not fit. Let me say it this way. The Lord doesn't fit in any of our grids or blueprints or past experience or ideas or ideologies or patterns of thinking of how things should be. He doesn't fall into our blueprint. He doesn't easily fall into the grid that maybe we've picked up from life and living and past experiences. Because you think about it, I mean, this is Jesus. This is like the Son of God, God himself, a master of seen and unseen world, right? Present in the beginning, you know, the lightning, peals of thunder, sea of glass, you know, the cherubims, the four living creatures. This is Jesus. And he says, foxes have holes and the birds of air have nests. I mean, foxes have a place. And the birds have a place where they can rest. But the Son of Man, Jesus, you know, soon to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus does not have a place to be. See, I don't have a grid for that. Because in my carnal mind, certainly, shouldn't the King of Kings have a place for his head? I mean, the one who humbled himself to take on the nature of a man, born in a manger, no less, not only to become obedient to death, but then death on the cross. I mean, life was subjecting itself to death. And you think about it. I mean, if Jesus was going to fit into my grid and my blueprint, okay, of how maybe I think things should have worked out here, you know what I'm saying? I would have thought, well, you know, he's coming down to earth. At least, you know, let him be born in a nice, you know, palace or something. This is the Son of God. You know what I'm saying? I know it's not going to be nothing like heaven, but let's do our best. Manger. Then you think about, you know, well, if he's going to be traveling and preaching and teaching the good news, can we hook him up with a chariot? Can we give him a couple horses or something? You know what I'm saying? No, he's walking. Well, if he's going to be walking, can we get him some hiking boots? Can we at least get him the latest Birkenstocks? Can we get him some sandals for his feet? This is Jesus. No sandals. No Birkenstocks. Think about it. And I find it amazing that the Son of God has no place to lay his head. In verse 59, he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. I mean, this man had an excuse. He had a blueprint. He had a thought, a concept that he felt was apparently acceptable to tell Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is saying, come follow me. And he says, but, you know, let me go and bury my father. Certainly this is going to be a good reason. I mean, this is what we do. This is natural, you know. In this land we bury and we honor our parents. So I got to go bury him. This is what I have to do. This is what we do. And apparently he felt it was acceptable because he actually uttered it and said it to Jesus. And it's like Jesus was not concerned about that. I mean, he wasn't concerned about what other people doing. He said, but you go and proclaim. And the thing that I'm noticing, even in my own life, is that how many times have I had a blueprint, a concept, an idea, of maybe how things should roll out. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we come to a place where sometimes we think, you know, I think we should figure this out, and certainly there's certain things that we need to do, and this has to happen before that happens, and, you know, we can reason, and God's given us a mind, and it's like, the more I see Jesus operates so outside of our grid, outside of our paradigm, so outside of what we think maybe should or happen. I mean, we have blueprints. We have plans. And I was thinking about this. Actually, it reminded me of Pat. You know, Pat is a master builder. You know, he wouldn't say that, but, you know, I've seen Pat in action. He's pretty bad with a pen and paper, and he puts these plans together. He's done many construction projects. And, you know, I don't know the first thing about planning, you know, about for a building or nothing like that. And so I've always been able to appreciate, you know, I'm like, okay, let's guesstimate, let's cut here. You know, Pat's like, no, you got to cut exactly like this. And Chris taught me to measure twice and cut once. But he has a blueprint. And the blueprint speaks of what you're going to build, what you're going to do. You have to have a plan. You got to have a plan. And so I think a lot of times we come to certain situations, especially walking with God, we try to filter what God is going to do based upon a blueprint, a plan, an ideology, a concept, a stronghold, an idea that maybe we thought up, heard of, and we say, that makes sense. I mean, surely Jesus wants me to go bury my dad first, right? Surely. No, let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And the thing that I think the Lord is speaking to all of us, I mean, speaking to me, to all, is that everyone is an individual before God. He said, but you. Everyone is called individually. Each one of us has an individual call from Jesus Christ. And every one of us is individually and personally accountable to him. And so the question is, does your blueprint for what you think should happen hold any water when it's just you and Jesus? I'm going to say that again. Does your blueprint for what you think should happen hold any water when it's just you and Jesus? Because I often find that what may be acceptable among other people, right, and amongst, because sometimes we do opinion polls. So what do you think? Do you think this is good? And, oh, yeah, and this person did that. And it's like, yeah, that. And it's like, but what is Jesus going to say about that? What is Jesus going to say about that? I mean, if the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but Jesus doesn't have any place to lay his head? That's perplexing. Because certainly Jesus should have a place to lay his head. And then if Jesus is telling me to come follow him, doesn't make a fall, and he has to go bury. Sir, I mean, this is the norm of the day. Shouldn't I at least first be able to bury the dead? She says, don't worry about the dead. This is about the living. But you go proclaim the kingdom of God. Verse 61 says, still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. I will follow you, but. It was that but word. It's not that Jesus doesn't know that some things have to happen, but he wants us. But what he wants us to do is get rid of any blueprint, plans that says that this is how it's going to happen or should happen, because this is what is obvious and comfortable to me. Here's another guy that's saying, look, I'll follow you, but first let me go back and say goodbye and all this type of stuff, but let me first. Let me first. And it's like, sometimes we could be tempted then God will give us a direction. God's calling us to follow him. God's calling us to share the gospel. God's calling us to advance the kingdom of God. God's calling us to be on the front lines. God's calling us to speak to a nation and to a world and to a people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. God's calling us to live outside of this present world and being caught up with everything that's happening. He's calling us out as forerunners. A forerunner means that you go before, as pioneers, as trailblazers. Other people look for trails, but apparently God's calling us to blaze some trails, to go and start a trail. And the man says, but first let me, I'm with you, but first let me go back and say goodbye. You know, there's an order to things, Jesus. You know, I got to get things together. You know, I got to order, you know, precept upon precept, right? You know, I got to get this stuff right. But first, and it's not that God doesn't want, I don't think, things to happen. I mean, he knows that things have to happen and things have to line up. But I believe what the Lord has been saying to me and maybe been saying to you is that, hey, listen, leave the plans to me. Leave what comes first and what comes second and how things should be and what. I mean, I remember when we first got here to New Jersey, and we came here to New Jersey, and, you know, I'm looking for work. And the first job that I get is 45 minutes away from where I live. I got to drive all different roads and crazy places. Jersey City, the largest city in New Jersey, 250,000 people. It's right across from Manhattan. It is. I was working in the financial district of New Jersey, so you could imagine that. I mean, every intersection, path, train, subway. I mean, 10 minutes from Hoboken. I mean, it's just up. It's a mess. In fact, I used to work two blocks outside of Holland Tunnel, which is only one of the three ways that anyone in New Jersey can get to New York City. And you're talking about a rat race commute to get into a tunnel that you would imagine, you know, surely they have wide openings and all. No. It's like trying to fit this huge thing through a little keyhole. That's how it is trying to get, you know, till you get to the Holland Tunnel. So there's traffic everywhere. And it's like, okay, God, you know, I'm trying to find work that is a little bit closer, but this didn't happen. And it wasn't until after a year and a half, about that time, that God wound up giving me employment that was literally 8 minutes away from the house with traffic. Now, in my plans, according to my blueprint, I would have done that a little bit differently. I would have said, you know, John, you're going up there new. You're already leaving Florida. You know, I don't want to put you on the road and stretch you too much. Let me get you a job that's only 8 minutes from your house as soon as you get there so that you can have time to adjust. I mean, that's my mind. You know what I'm saying? That would have been, but no. God had a different plan. His plan was totally different outside of the blueprint that I thought probably would have been wise to do. In fact, after I got that job, it wasn't maybe a month later that I thought, oh, I can't keep doing this commute. It was taking me an hour and a half to get home. I was getting lost. I mean, it was a mess. And I went to the location where I wound up getting the job only after 3 months getting there, and it didn't happen. They didn't have any openings or, you know, it just didn't work out. I never thought that a year and a half later I'd be wind up working 8 minutes from the home. That seemed out of order. But as I look back, it was all part of God's design. The people I met, the things I learned, the interactions that I had, the perspective of New Jersey, the fact that I was exposed to people from all over the boroughs, what I learned during that period, key relationships that I still have today, were huge. Not only to mention that God was totally trying to shake my world upside down exactly so that I wouldn't have the blueprint. So it's not like God doesn't, there isn't an order to what he's doing. But it's the fact that God wants us to submit the plans. God wants us to get rid of our blueprints, get rid of our plans, and totally submit ourselves to, you know what, God, I know that I got to get from A to B. How that's going to happen, I'm not going to come in with a presupposed concept, a preconception. I'm just going to allow you to write the blueprint out. Does that make sense? Because the guy in the first time, he's saying, look, but you know, I'm with you. I'm going to do this. I said I'll go. But first, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Say goodbye. And God wants us to check the blueprints at the door. He wants us to empty ourselves of what we think should happen. He says, if you're going to come and follow me. Then Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. No one who starts out to follow God is not fit to serve him if when he is going forward, he's looking in the rear mirror. See, the temptation that we have is that when God calls us to the front lines, when God calls us to do a work, when God calls us to do something that's outside of what we've ever done before, is to look back to what God has done before in the past. And if you're looking back in the rearview mirror, guess what? You're not going to be able to have much confidence moving forward because you can't see where you're going. If the dominant vision of your life is what happened before, you know, I have a pet peeve of mine when I meet people that are like my age and older and are still talking about high school. And I'm like, high school? Like, what was it so long ago? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even remember, barely. I don't even want to remember high school. Who wants to talk about high school? Like, ugh, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, that should be beyond us at a certain point. That was like happened yesteryear. What's happening in your life and your vision for the future should be so powerful that you don't even have time to really look back. Because I'm looking onward, upward, and forward to what God is doing and the plan and the vision and the purposes of the Lord. But if you're looking in the rearview mirror, and sometimes we get a reference point. It's okay to get a reference point. It's okay to look back and say, you know, God did it this way and God did it that way. Here's the deal. I thought about King David. Imagine if King David, every single time that he fought a battle after killing Goliath, right? Every time after that, he kept looking back and saying, now, how did I use that slingshot? I got to remember now, how did I whip that arm around? Was it the hip and the arm motion and the bending of the knees together? How did I work that? How did that happen? Because I'm going to fight some new giants. I got some new battles to take people down. And because I remember what God did now. That was a big giant. And I killed him. And God blessed me. And so if God did it back then, just because God used something in your life in the past doesn't mean that God's going to use that same thing in your life now. Now, you can imagine, after David killed Goliath, every sales marketer in Israel was saying, get your slingshot. You got giants in your land? Listen, we're not just for the price of $9.99. We're not going to give you one. We're going to give you two David slingshots with five smooth stones from the same authentic location and stream where he picked up those stones. And if you have any giants in your land, this is what you use. It's like, oh, my goodness. You know they were trying to market that. And it's like you can't the principle that God wants us to use is not about the method, but what God wants us to use is that David was victorious. It's not it matters little what David had in his hand because it was God who gave him the victory. Whether it was a slingshot, whether it was a stone. I mean, when Samson killed all those guys with a jawbone, you know they were trying to sell them jawbones. You what? This is the perfect club. This is the perfect club to wipe out your enemies. Get your jawbones. Get your jawbones. Just because God used this, moved this way in someone's life, doesn't mean that God's going to move that way and use the same thing in your life. And just because God moved that way, because you know what? It's a journey. It's a journey. God wants us to be utterly dependent upon Him. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to hear from Him. He wants us to abide and just find out what is it that He wants to do. What does God want to do? I mean, God's called us. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost to doing His will. And the cost is our plans. The cost is what we think should happen. And I think sometimes we can get so paralyzed and so, you know, slowed down in fulfilling the purposes of God because we're trying to fit God's purposes into a paradigm, into a box that maybe fits what we think should happen or maybe what God did in the past or what God did for somebody else. And I'm finding that in my own personal walk, that the more that I walk with this God saying, that's what I did last year. That's what I did last month. But you got to hear from me today what I'm going to do tomorrow. Check your blueprints at the door. Check your blueprints at the door. There is a cost. Because here's the thing, that if everything has to fit according to our plans, our comfortable plans, that it's not going to work. I mean, if talking about Jesus wasn't, if Jesus Himself was a model, I mean, if the Son of Man didn't have the hookup to come and do what God called Him to do, the Father called Him to do, we shouldn't be looking for the hookup, if you will. You know what I'm saying? We shouldn't be trying to fit everything in a perfect way. It's like, you know what, God, may Your will be done. You've called, you've said, you've launched. Now I want to hear from you how this is going to happen. And I know that could be a struggle sometimes, but what we're struggling with is our concept, our ideas of how we're going to fit God's plan into the paradigm of our life, into the way that we think that this should roll out. Because, you know, we do live in America. You know, we do have certain things that we have to do. And He said, no. Come and follow Me. Come and follow Me. And He tells us in other places in the Word to pick up our cross. To pick up our cross. And I want to share one other example here that the Lord really just spoke to me about. I'm trying to see if I can look it up here. Give me one second. But it's in 1 Kings 19. Then Elijah, 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there, and he found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Now Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "and then I will come with you." And this is Elijah's reply. "Go back. Go back," Elijah replied. "What have I done to you?" He said, "Go back. Hey, don't forget what I told you. Hey, all right, go back." So Elijah left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment and took the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. You see, Elijah went back and said, "You know what? I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do this right. I'm going to go back. That oxen that I was pushing, I'm going to go back. That blueprint that I had, I'm going to go and chop that thing up and burn that thing up and do a sacrifice. And then I'm going to come with you." I'm going to start this journey with you, Elijah, not with anything from the past, not from any of my past experiences. I'm going to break all of that, all of these ideologies, all these things of how I think that God should and move and do and all this type of stuff, and I'm going to leave that tore up so that I can start with you afresh. And I think that God wants to encourage us this morning that he's called you. He's called you for such a time as this. He's called us for this. I believe this is the church's greatest hour. I mean, this is like, I think so many have longed to live in this generation, and we're privileged to be part of God's army during this time. And it's like, if we're gonna continue to move forward with God, if we're gonna continue to follow Him, we have to get rid of our plans, get rid of our thought processes, get rid of how we think it maybe should be, and say, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you because I love you. I'm going to follow you because you're worthy. I'm going to follow you because you are. And I'm going to follow you without any of my own ideas of how this is all going to work out, that your love should be enough. I think about Ruth and Naomi, like, let your God be my God, your people, my people. Listen, I love you. Whatever you're doing, I want to be with you. I want to be with your people. Hey, whatever it is. And God's just reminding me personally, it's like, you know what? Fall more in love with Jesus. It's amazing that when we fall in love, the things that maybe would have been harder for us to do in the past become so easy because love is such an empowering force. And so the deeper we fall in love, the easier it becomes to say, forget Jesus, you lead the way. You lead the way. So I want to encourage you this morning to check your blueprints at the door, to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you wherever you lead, however you want to lead. Amen?
Amen, amen. That's so important because we can follow him. I mean, that's going to be one of the key ingredients, the key steps is to follow Jesus wherever he goes. But we do the following. We don't do the leading.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We do the following part. And the problem is, and the struggle that we often face is if we don't follow, if we don't, you know, in following God, is that we say, God, okay, I'm with you, but I got plans. I did research. I was on Google. I have some directions. And I want to submit these to you, of course, you know, right?
Right.
And we're going to go this, and you know, because common sense to me would say God, you know. And God doesn't operate in our sense, you know what I'm saying? In fact, he gave us those senses. He has his own, you know what I'm saying? He has his own direction. And the quicker that we can get this, oftentimes I see the people's biggest struggle is the fact that they don't want to follow God where he's going.
Right.
They want God to follow them where they're going. And let me tell you, it doesn't work out that way. You're going to be a miserable, miserable person if you're trying to get God to follow you. You're a bad leader when it comes to Jesus, okay? You need to follow Jesus. And so he's not going to operate off of our blueprints or our operating manuals. He has his own. And sure, it may seem chaotic or it may seem like out of order, but God's order is his perfect order. It's just unperfect to us.
Right.
He wants us so out of control that he wants us literally to trust him every step of the way. And once you begin following God and walking with him and finding his direction, that will become easier and easier and easier because you know that God is faithful. He's true. You can't go forward while looking at the rearview mirror. You know what I'm saying? David's like, do you have another slingshot? And it's so interesting that nowhere in the Bible, I've never read anywhere else, where David used another slingshot to kill anybody else. And David killed some men now.
Yeah.
David killed some men. But that's what God did. That's what God used back then. This is a new season. And I think that we're going to constantly be in a place as time goes on, as events happen, that we're going to have to be constantly redefining a new normal. Okay, then we don't have a grid for this. We don't have a grid for that. And you're going to have to be redefining a new normal. But that's going to be okay if Jesus is the captain of your ship, if he's still the one in the lead, if he's still the one in charge, Alpha, if you will, right? Then it's going to be okay. It doesn't matter because you know that you can trust him and you can follow him. I'm telling you, we can do it. We can do it. We can really make it. But it's not going to be our will. The cost of following him is your blueprint, your will.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.